Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Triple Jump podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
This is a video game podcast. Stop emailing us about which shoes make you jump bigger or further or harder or stronger.
Hopping, skipping, and jumping.
We don't want them anymore.
No.
We've had to develop new technology.
Technology.
It's not even a spam filter anymore. It's a
shoe filter.
It's a shoe filter. And every single triple jump, triple space jump.
Yeah.
Question goes in there. By the way, it's triple jump, all one word. Well, I know that when you type in triple jump in Google, in the YouTubes, sometimes it auto-populates the field and it's triple space jump, and people searching that will still find us.
Yeah.
But that's the distinguishing factor between the sport and the video game entity, is a space.
And a shoe filter.
And we're okay. We're fine. We're dealing with it.
Yeah.
Really well.
But
so stop asking about it.
Enough with the shoes.
You won't hear any acrobatics? What's the word?
Athletics.
Thank you. I'm so muddled. I'm frustrated by the situation.
Is he in a muddle?
You'll find no athletic sponsors here, will you, Peter?
No, but we do have a sponsor today, as always. But it changes every time because no one wants to stick around.
Maybe they think we are an athlete. That's part of the problem. Perhaps they think we are an athletics competition entity.
Yeah. Well, you know when you've got to go real fast.
Oh boy, do I.
Super fast. Mm. In your sneakers, your red and white sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
But then you take those sneakers off and you've just got giant blue human feet inside those sneakers.
Every day.
The problem is having big giant human feet inside your hedgehog got to go fast sneakers is they can get real smelly. If you're running around gotting to go fast, mm-hmm. at those sorts of speeds with space between your toes, you're gonna get real stinkums feet.
Real stinkies.
But don't worry, because with us today is Dr. Robot Man's
yes.
Shoe filters.
So this is a shoe.
It is a shoe
filter.
Yes, it is.
I bet he gets athlete's foot as well.
After all that, yeah, probably does. Yeah, or acrobatics foot.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Acrobat's foot. So don't worry. Don't have no fears.
Fret not.
If you're running around, if you're a blue spiky boy or woman.
Or girl.
Just pop some Dr. Eggman Robotnik's shoe filters into your shoes. They'll filter out all those stinkity stinkums smells.
But Peter, tell me more. How does the technology work?
Well, basically, it's just a tea bag.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. What was it again?
Dr. Jim Carrey's Dr. Jim Carrey's shoe filters
for the discerning fast acrobat. Thank you so much for sponsoring.
Thank you.
This episode, that's a lie. We got you.
Ha ha.
We got you. You fall for it every week. You idiots. That we aren't actually sponsored by Dr. Egg Mayonnaise's shoe Emporium Smell Good Long Time Powder. /bag.
Earl Grey.
We are, in fact, brought to you by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/team triple jump.
Jump.
All of the questions are supplied by them. Case in point is Shindig.
Can't stop addicted to the
24/7.
Yeah.
Which that does sound like an addiction. Please look after yourself and check into a relevant rehabilitation facility.
Yeah, the Shindig Rehab.
If possible.
They stop you dancing.
What do you boys think about the news that dun 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 THQ Nordic? I feel like maybe lightning should be happening and thunder behind us. THQ Nordic are actively working on the next Time Splitters game, as well as Saints Row and some others. Keep up the good work. Love all you do. Thank you, Shindig.
Now, for clarity, the idea that they're actively working on the next Time Splitters game is, I guess you could say that that is true. Basically, THQ Nordic put out a financial report, right? Yeah. About a week, in the last week. And they said that they have hired a member of the Time Splitters team to come and help them with planning out the future of the franchise. So in that respect, they seem to be working on it and that they've hired someone. Do we have the guy's name? I had it yesterday.
Time Splitters co-creator, Steve Ellis.
Steve Ellis. Well, excellent. Well done, Steve, for creating Time Splitters.
Did a great job at co-creating Time Splitters. We're both big Time Splitters boys.
We are.
We've talked about it a lot in the past and how we secretly wanted one of THQ's pre-E3 surprises, THQ Nordic, I should say, their pre-E3 surprises to be that, but we got a bloody SpongeBob game.
Yeah, fantastic.
And destroy all humans. Destroy all humans. That's fantastic. Great. Can't wait.
And the other one, I can't remember what that was.
Probably some stupid nonsense, probably. They're all remakes, I believe, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Of the original games. And I think if they were to do this, we would... We spoke about it briefly. I know I would. I think you agreed as well.
Mm.
I think a remake is probably the best route to begin with, right?
Yeah, definitely.
It's been so long.
Either a triple pack of all three games. I don't know if you were remaking them to such a very high kind of standard and stuff, maybe you wouldn't fit all three of them into one.
Mm.
At least with things like Crash and Spyro, they're still pretty simple games at their heart, so you can fit, I think, an entire trilogy into one game. But
it would be nice if they
remade the lot.
I think you could probably leave off Time Splitters 1.
Yeah, I agree. There's not much to that at all.
No, you probably could leave that one.
But 2 and 3 are excellent, future perfect. And then maybe at that point they could sort of think about making a fourth, off the back of that, just in the same engine, so it all ties together nicely, my concern would be if they just came out with Time Splitters 4 just immediately.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, I think there's less of an audience to kind of capture, because a lot of new gamers who are playing their FPSs will have no idea what Time Splitters is.
No, it's since PlayStation 2 we've been waiting.
Yeah,
presumably as well, the transitive properties of ownership of the license would mean that Steve Ellis is intimately familiar with and also now has full legal rights to perhaps pick up where they left off with Time Splitters 4, in that they did a lot of work on that game,
right,
by all accounts, and they've at least got the blueprint there for a sequel to Future Perfect, so that would be interesting.
True.
I'm worried, because it's THQ Nordic,
that
this is just going to be fluffed right up the wall.
Mm-hmm, me too.
But if they go the remake route, that mitigates the potential for disaster a little bit. Maybe. I don't know.
I tell you what, actually, I think something that would worry me is if they try to make it too photorealistic. I think something that Time Splitters, I think it's made the games hold up quite well.
Yeah, Future Perfect looked great, didn't
it's
when
just
we streamed it.
That weird, almost, I don't know what you would call it, the style, but like everything's a little bit plasticine-y, but in a really nice way.
Exaggerated features.
Yeah, the big features.
The world is almost photorealistic. It's very colourful, but it was Future Perfect was gorgeous when it came out, and it still is a very good looking game.
Yeah, and it's always supposed to be very hammy. It's not supposed to be a gritty, realistic, time traveling first person shooter. I kind of worry that it might have the same outcome as Duke Nukem Forever,
right,
which was probably, although that was very over the top.
Hmm.
I still feel like there was something about it that just felt like it was too gritty and realistic. They were trying to make it look convincing in amongst all this chaos. And also that game had been in development that long that it was just really bad by the time it came out.
It's a complete disaster.
But I think the stylization is an important factor there. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. This is fantastic news. I find myself, sadly, not excited at all. I will play it if it happens.
Mm.
But it doesn't get my nethers twitching.
No.
Like the long promised Time Splitters 2 multiplayer release for PlayStation 3, where people could play online in just the multiplayer of Time Splitters 2, or the fan remake that's seemingly been going on for decades, or the fact that Crytek UK actively acknowledged Time Splitters on numerous occasions and said that they were going to get something worked on,
mm-hmm.
or then it was bought by Koch Media, which of course is also owned by THQ Nordic. I don't know what to believe. I've been told and lied to so many times. I still remember buying Time Splitters Future Perfect from Tesco,
right,
for the PlayStation 2 when it came out, and I've been waiting since then.
Do you think you're not excited because you've been let down, or are you actually just a bit less interested now?
I will play the crap out of it, but I don't know, maybe a remake just doesn't do that much for me. I really wanted to play Crash Team Racing,
mm-hmm.
and I've really enjoyed playing it,
yeah.
in spite of the microtransactions. But before it came out, I wasn't like, yes, here we go, it's Time Splitters! It wasn't anything like that.
Right.
The excitement I felt before Spider-Man came out,
mm.
I haven't had that for a game this year.
Right.
And one of them has been a remake. And I think it's a combination, really.
Yeah.
What about you?
I know what you mean. There is something about... I've wanted a new Time Splitters for so long, and now finally there's like a hint that like something might be going on. And I'm not feeling like, you know, the day that they said, yeah, we're working on Spyro. We are doing it. Or, you know, we're going to fully remaster Crash. You know, when that was announced at E3, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Right.
And even like literally when it was just an announcement, there was nothing to look at yet. It was just, we're doing it. It's going to be fully remastered from the ground up. We're going to do it. I was excited from the beginning. But yeah, this doesn't really, as you say, tickle any fancies at the moment.
Maybe it's also the people who are bringing it to us.
I suspect.
Congratulations, Peter. You have been awarded a special prize where you're going to be flown to Disneyland.
Yeah.
You're going to go to the Star Wars exhibit and skip all the queues.
Oh, my God.
But
you're
not going alone.
Oh.
Gordon Brown's coming too.
Oh.
Text
you like son.
I mean, I have no real issue with. I'm sure Gordon Brown is. Do I have to go with Gordon Brown?
Now? Yeah.
Do I have to go with former Labour Prime Minister Gaben Brown?
Gaben, more like Borden Brown.
Got him.
Yeah.
Got him. We'll see. We'll see how they mess this up. Really. Let's be optimistic, though. They've got the right man on board.
They have
to oversee it.
We'll wait until we see the first hints of, you know, a little teaser trailer or something, some sort of CG teaser.
Lift up its shirt a little bit, and you just see a little bit of snail trail. Yeah, a little bit of monkey.
It'll be a monkey teaser trailer. That'll happen.
Absolutely.
If this game gets made, the first thing that will happen is like
a little monkey.
You know, just a landscape, and then just a monkey will run in with a
Shimper
gun,
side.
And just go boom. Time Splitters 4, and that'll be it.
Yeah, and then we'll wait 7 years, and THQ Nordic will go bust after selling all their stocks on 8chan or something stupid that.
Shindig actually asked a two-part question.
That's unusual.
It is. Who do you think you are? Shindig also asks, what are you playing?
Welcome to what?
What?
We.
Wait, you should have gone before we started.
Playing.
Oh, I see.
Games. Peter, what have you played this week?
I have played a little bit and not much of Mince Raft.
Oh, you played some Mince Raft.
A tiny little bit of
Minecraft. Did you get onto that desert island that you were stranded on at the end of the last show then?
What?
You remember you went on that desert island and you took Mince Raft with you?
Mince Raft.
Yeah.
And made a nice bolognese when I got there with the mince.
From
the
delicious spaghetti bolognese.
Tasty. All I really did, though, is I went into survival mode.
Built a big old
creative mode is what I meant. Yeah. Built a big old dick first. That was obviously the first thing I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just wanted to explore some of the new things that they've done.
Mm.
And my God... It looks like someone has just secretly modded my game while I've been away. We're talking about Minecraft, by the way, for those of you who didn't get the Mince Raft thing. Did you know that actually happens to the logo? 1 in 100,000 times or
something? It says Mince Raft?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's like 1 in 10,000 or something chances, and you don't even notice it says it.
Give Microsoft their dues,
mm.
and obviously the hardworking folks over at Mojang.
Yeah.
They've done a lot, haven't they?
They certainly have. There's parrots now. I mean, they were actually there last year when we played a little bit with Mikey. But there's all kinds of weird blocks. There's barrels for storage instead of chests, as well as chests, which is really weird. There's all kinds of strange redstone blocks. There's like these raiders now that you get who can like raid a village and stuff. Mm-hmm. There are traveling traders who have llamas. They're like testificate men who just walk into your village and say,
I remember the llamas.
And they're just selling you rubbish stuff. You remember the llamas?
Yeah. You remember we played some Minecraft.
We did.
The other day. And yeah. We were putting together some pens to sort of herd animals.
Oh, we got one in. Yeah, that's right.
I managed to push a vendor with llamas in tow, attached by rope. I managed to push him all the way up a mountain.
You did.
And into a pen, and now he's ours.
He's our pet trader.
Forever.
Yeah. No, we did. We played a little bit of multiplayer as well at your place. Mm. I can't believe the stuff that they've added. There's dolphins now and turtles and things like that. It's a bit daunting, actually, because I was kind of thinking that in the next few weeks, I might really start to like dedicate some time to a single player world,
right,
and just properly do some survival. But I kind of feel like I'm almost new to the game again.
Where do you start?
Where do I start? You know, there's all the blocks that you can mine as well. There's like new ores and new like different kinds of gravelly, stony things that like none of them seem to really be any different to each other at all.
New stairs.
Yeah. Oh, check out those stairs. And all kinds of woods and things, you know. It's bizarre. It's strange. It's a whole new game. But I'm excited.
It's Don't you dare close your
eyes. It's a bit threatening, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
I paid good money for this magic carpet. Don't
waste
it.
You're on this magic carpet. Don't forget, you can't go anywhere.
No.
I'm in control here. A new fantastic... Why are you crying? A new fantastic...
Hold your breath.
Stop crying.
Stop it.
A fantastic...
Don't you dare cry.
Right, I'm just going to pop you down here. You're bumming me out.
So Minecraft is like... You know, it's kind of on trend again now, isn't it, for some reason? It's had a bit of a resurgence. And I want to get in on that. I want to jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, climb on in.
Start making a little lovely little survival farm for myself.
They've saved a space for you at the table, Peter.
They certainly have.
And they're happy to have you back.
So I did a little test, and I'm very daunted. But, you know, that's what the internet's for, right? I'll be able to ask the internet what stuff does.
What stuff does?
What stuff does?
What stuff does?
What does this stuff do?
Help. Okay, Google, what stuff does?
Well, no, what does stuff do?
What does stuff does?
Yeah.
Stuff? Question mark? How does it does?
Stuff does this.
Stuff. A study on how it do.
Hmm.
By Peter Austin.
Ben?
Yes?
What stuff you've been playing?
I'll tell you the stuff what I done.
Mm.
I have... quote unquote finished Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Oh, okay.
I stuck at it.
Yeah.
There was something, I think I said, I was speaking about this last week. There's something very satisfying about running around. The shooting's great in that game.
Yeah.
There's something very satisfying about just doing lots of kills and getting the XPs and going up the levels. It's still a thoroughly unremarkable video game.
Right.
But you know what? As a time killer, that's about as positive as I can be about it.
It's future perfect.
It's a real time killer, bought by THQ Nordic.
Mm.
And I heard some complaints about the last boss being just the most insane difficulty spike, and oh boy, it certainly is.
Oh, really?
I had no real issues at all throughout that entire game. I was playing on a slightly easier difficulty because I learned from my mistakes in Wolfenstein 2, which was just punishingly, brutally hard for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no real issues because when you go down, you have three lives. And when you go down, your sister can pick you up. Either that's a co-op partner or an AI partner.
Okay.
And if you don't get picked up and you, quote unquote, bleed out, then you lose one of your shared lives and you have three shared lives. I went into this last boss fight with three shared lives. He has three phases. The first one is easy peasy.
Okay.
The second one's all right because you're on a rooftop and there's a lot of people shooting at you, so you need to focus on the people shooting at you.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third phase, he just goes mental. He has like shoulder-mounted lasers. He's firing at you real fast. Your sister's going down constantly.
Right.
And you need to keep picking her up. And every time you die on that roof, you have to replay the second phase as well because it's also on the roof.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was just like, this is... who did this?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this like
who
this?
Who hurt you? What laser cannon, what shoulder-mounted laser cannon hurt you to make you represent them in this way?
It's just such a huge leap. And also, yes, racist against laser cannons.
Yeah.
Which is just not okay. It's 1980-something in the video game.
Yes, the world is controlled by the Nazi party. There's no racism here.
No, absolutely none.
Mm.
Finished the game, though, managed to beat him. Absolutely bugger all relevance of it being the 80s whatsoever.
Really?
Now that I've finished it, there is nothing. Absolutely nothing. There are collectibles that are 3D glasses, and you can pick up VHS cassettes.
3D, okay.
As collectibles.
When you say 3D glasses, you mean like the blue and red?
Yeah, like the cardboard ones. Yeah. They're a collectible, but they serve no purpose and no function. There is nothing about this setting that inspires the marketing campaign that it had.
That's a shame.
Absolutely nothing.
It being set in the 80s is almost a byproduct of like, oh, well, BJ's had some kids and that would be like the age, it would just be the 80s. And that's fine if it's just coincidental or, you know, it happens to be the 80s, but we've made a game, then that's okay. But don't try and sell the game on the 80s thing if you're not going to do the 80s thing. Just say, it's the kids of BJ Blazkowicz and sell it on that instead.
Mm-hmm.
But
they have been their own worst enemy with their marketing for their past two tentpole releases,
right.
Rage 2 and Wolfenstein Youngblood. It's just lies.
Yeah.
Like, it's just completely misrepresenting the game that it is. Not in a in an Aliens Colonial Marines kind of way,
right,
where
yeah.
it's like, this is what the game plays like. It doesn't. It doesn't actually. This is all just a vertical slice we made for you.
Yeah.
But it's just the marketing's like, hey, fun, colors, you ready? It could have been set in any time period in the last 30 years. Really doesn't matter.
Any of them that had 3D glasses could have been set now.
No fun. There's no fun. Leave that at home.
Recycled levels
and
objective types.
Big time. But I finished it, and I'm glad I did. I like the new Wolfenstein games, and there's no real story development whatsoever. It sort of ends on a nothing note.
Right.
There's the stuff that the point of the game is you're trying to find your dad and things, and that's obviously resolved one way or another without stating specifically.
BJ dies. I don't know if
BJ
he does.
Explodes.
Right.
They fire him into the sun.
Yeah.
And then it's like Wolfenstein Big Sun, the sequel to Wolfenstein Youngblood, and it's actually BJ Blazkowicz had a second family and he's got a very big son, and the big son. He doesn't have a twin, but the big son then goes and fights the actual gaseous ball at the center of our solar system.
So it's big son versus big
son. It's big son versus bigger son.
Right.
Yeah,
big son squared.
BJ's big son is what it's called. BJ's big son stay out.
And in order for the pun to work and to be some ambiguity, they've put like a U but also an O just sort of drawn over the top of each other, so you don't know whether it's referring to the big son or the big son.
Absolutely, and it's set in the 90s, and they're playing on that hard.
You have to collect S Club 7 albums,
yes,
but there's no reward for collecting
Friends
them.
VHSs and posters of Joey.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Joey, was that not the noughties? I don't know.
Joey was in the character Joey,
the spin-off sitcom Joey.
Apart from that really quite rubbish video game, I've been playing a Sniper Elite 4.
Oh, it was on Plus, wasn't it?
It was on Plus.
Is it good? I've not tried it yet. I downloaded it.
It's fine. Like, it's good, but in co-op, it's great fun. You can play the campaign in co-op, and that is literally the only reason I played it. And it was a good laugh. So much so, in fact, that I am interested in the potential sequel. So it worked. Whatever their goal was with PlayStation Plus, it worked. Had fun. It will never get old, sniping and seeing the bullet go through a person in slow motion and it like popping organs and stuff. It's horrific, but it's amazing fun.
Mm-hmm.
Stealth is practically impossible.
Oh, that's a shame.
If you want to have fun and you don't want to like crawl on your belly across a massive map,
right?
Stealth is not always an option. It's usually snipe until you get caught and then run around with a submachine gun until they can't see you anymore. Sometimes they've just got this ridiculous X-ray vision, as is a problem with all these games, and this isn't like a AAA game. Its budget was probably quite a bit more modest than that.
Yeah.
So there are shortcomings in a number of places. The story was skipped, all the cutscenes, but it was very hammy, sort of Bond-esque villain and so on. It's fun.
Okay.
If you've got PlayStation Plus and you've got a friend, there's no local co-op, but online, it's a good laugh. I would recommend it. I would.
Excellent.
And that's what I played.
we've got a question here.
Yeah.
This comes from Carrie Butcher.
Yeah.
With an A.
Is
not,
it?
Not Butcher.
Is it Butchter?
Butcher. It is. The T is after the CH.
Yeah, I'm not sure. What, I'm not sure what the pronunciation is, though.
Buchter. Might be Buchter.
Buchter.
Or Butchter. I thought the T was...
Carrie's got a question.
Carrie B has got a question. Growing up, my parents thought video games were a waste of time. Just wondering if your parents were more open to the idea of games as fun entertainment. Not a question, I know. I should rephrase it. Should I rephrase it? Wait, now that's the question. Gotta go.
Yes, you should rephrase it.
Yeah.
It's time now for some weird news.
Oh, okay.
That was the question.
That was the answer to the question. Yes, you should rephrase. Okay, I see. We could always just answer her statement, though.
I suppose so. Go on, then. You go first. What have you got?
My mum was never really remotely interested in any way, shape, or form in my gaming exploits.
Right.
She is now. Now that I'm making a crap ton of money.
Now that you're making
it,
that YouTube limited ad revenue money.
Yeah.
You're absolutely sorted.
No, she didn't really... get it, think it was entertaining or wasn't remotely interested. My dad, though, on occasion would show a little bit of an interest. Mm. And I remember one time in particular, I was playing London Racer.
Classic.
Now, I was a very young boy at this point. I had a PS1 and London Racer was just, I saw it in the shop and bought it. So I didn't realize how bad it would be.
I know that one.
Yeah.
We know that one being bad.
Yeah. I think I did know at the time, actually, as I was playing it, that this is a bit janky.
Something's wrong.
Yeah. But I didn't have a great repertoire. So I didn't, you know, it's hard to compare it to anything else.
Right.
Anyway, I was driving across across the bridge towards Big Ben and my dad came into the room and he went, "Huh, I know that road." Because he used to live in London. Yeah. And when he realized that it was a game where you drive like a classic Mini around areas that sort of look a bit like London, he was really interested and he asked if he could have a go.
That must have been the most amazing feeling.
It was in a way, but I think I did know that like, oh, this is a bit of a baptism of fire for him because it's not a good game at all. You know, you've got the police that like give you your first warning.
If you can't handle me at my worst,
yeah,
you don't deserve me at my God of War.
That's true. But the problem was that he drove around that first level and then he said, "Oh, is there anywhere else you can drive in London?" And I said, "Let's see." And all the other maps were locked. And he was like, "Oh, let's go there." I was like, "Oh, we can't. It's locked." And he was like, "Oh, how do you unlock it?" And I was like, "Oh, you have to like..."
Do you need money?
Yeah.
Do you want money?
Microtransactions. But back then I was too young to really know how to unlock it or to be able to, you know. So it didn't last long because there was only one map for him to play.
Yeah.
But he also, he had Flight Simulator on his PC, which I would get to play. You know, that was his game that I would play. That was the one exception in that he wasn't a gamer at all. Mm-hmm. But on occasion he would play Flight Simulator because he's always worked in the aviation. Well, for most of his life he's worked in aviation.
Right.
So he's interested in that. And one other thing, there's a running theme here. Actually, we've got automobiles and planes.
Yeah. Oh.
I had a game called Locomotion on PC.
Okay.
Which is basically OpenTTD. People might have heard of that. Which is, I think that's a free to play version of this game. Right. TTD stands for Transport Tycoon Deluxe.
Okay.
And it's now sort of abandonware or something, and you can just like get it for free online. Okay. Anyway, it's just you build like a transport empire with like trains and buses and you know, stuff like that. It's like a top-down world builder. It's like SimCity really, but it's about the transport. Okay. So you move goods around and people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He enjoyed that. He used to like sit over my shoulder and watch me play that and be like, "Yeah, put a bus there.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, build an airport.
Why don't you put a train over there?
Why don't you move some of that oil into that factory there with some trucks?"
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
When do you get paid?
Yeah.
How do we make money off this?
Yeah. In real life.
In real life,
though. You're transporting those goods around. Are you going to get paid for that?
Peter, where's the money?
Yeah. Cough
Peter,
up.
Where have you been keeping... It says up here that you've got £10,000,
Peter. I bought
where
this game for you as an investment. Yeah. Make money, boy.
Where's the money, Peter?
Give me the money. Yeah.
It was a difficult Christmas.
It was really tough. Yeah. So that's it. My dad had a few games that he enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So that was nice. What about you?
So my parents were never against me playing games.
No.
But I think they did want me to go outside.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't like a super video game addict or anything like that. I had very few games for my PS1. I had very few games for my Game Boy. I had very few games for my PS2. Mm. In fact, there was a significant stretch where I just didn't play anything for quite a while.
Oh, really?
Just because I had no interest in it. But by the time, as I've spoken about before, by the time sort of it was ramping up for the PSP's release, it was then that I'd started to get into games media, and I was reading magazines and I was putting all my money towards that, and that's all I could think of. And I'd made friends at school who were of a similar mindset, and we'd talk about it and get excited about all the games and things. And at that point, I think my parents were just sort of like, please go outside.
Right.
Please run around. Mm-hmm. Just move a little bit.
Right.
Just go see the sky.
Just lift your wrists just off your lap.
Just get out.
Let go of that controller.
Just get the hell out of here.
Just bend your knees a bit and walk.
Breathe, for God's sake. We can't keep breathing you.
No.
You we're having to do just chest compressions constantly.
Well, we've shoved a funnel in your mouth and we're just pouring Cheetos and Gatorade in there.
Yeah.
Or Mountain Dew.
Or the UK equivalent, digestive biscuits and...
tea. No, tea. You don't drink tea.
No, I don't drink tea. No, that's the reason why.
Coke.
They force-fed me tea.
You, yeah.
I overdosed on tea. Yeah. No, it was also, you know, during that period where it was just, exams are coming up. You should probably... Can you please stop... Stop it.
I had that.
Stop it.
I definitely... So I never really had a kind of go outside, because I did used to just... I would go outside anyway. I was also not like constantly gaming all the time when I was younger. So I never was really told to go outside much. But definitely around exam times, my mum in particular would say, get off that.
Yeah.
Do some work.
But then you'd find other ways.
Oh, yeah.
On your laptop, you would go to Miniclip and you would play Flight Sim.
Of course.
Copter. Whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
You would click away. And on occasion, sort of they would see you click away because you weren't quick enough. And they'd be like, are you playing games?
Show me that.
Are you playing? You'd learn all the keyboard shortcuts to close tabs without having to...
You'd be a master. Yeah. Mm. My mum has no interest in games. She doesn't understand them. Over the years, I've sort of shown her various things. When I first got a VR and I brought it home, that was very exciting for everybody. They've all been huge fans of PlayStation's Playlink games, where you download the app on your phone and there's like, you know, the quiz games and various other things. That's you. And I think Uno is a new one as well. Hidden Agenda, stuff like that. Those have all have been great fun, and they're really, you know, people understand them. Mm-hmm. And their knowledge is power is a popular one as well. We play that quite a lot whenever I'm with them. But my mum was never interested. My dad used to play like Quake and Doom sometimes at night, and he would occasionally, I think still very, very occasionally, plays mini clip games and browser games and stuff.
Right.
But he was fascinated with Gran Turismo for PS1. I know that much. Mm-hmm. He was really impressed by that and would occasionally play it.
That's like cars, don't they?
They really, apparently, all of them. They love cars.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's because they grew up in a time where cars were a much bigger deal. Not that they aren't a big deal now, but you know, like when there wasn't so much distractions from media.
Yeah.
It was the car that you just
had your car.
You owned it, and that was your independence and your freedom, and you could go and see the world with it. And it was... probably carried a lot more weight than they do now,
and was probably a simpler machine, and so you were able to like tinker with it a bit more.
Yeah,
you can't really do that nowadays unless you really know what you're doing.
I would die. I had to take a hammer to my car the other day, and it felt really wrong.
An actual hammer,
because the wheel seized up. One of the wheels seized up at the back, because I don't drive it very often, because I don't need to. And also there was just something wrong with it, clearly, on top of that. So I had to call the RAC, and they came out. I got out a bloody hammer and started doing the same thing.
Oh my God.
I was like, I was right.
Yeah.
I was right to hit it with a hammer.
Just needed a hammer.
Just whacking on the wheel to sort of loosen up the rust in there or whatever it was that had seized up.
Yeah.
I had to take the whole thing apart and then sort of drive haphazardly to a garage anyway. But like, it just goes to show, sometimes taking a hammer to a vehicle isn't a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But they were incredibly supportive of me when I wanted to start pursuing it for a career. You know, when I got some work experience at Official PlayStation Magazine, and they really helped me find a place to stay locally with some extended family and things like that. They've always been incredibly supportive. But in terms of growing up, I think they probably saw it as more of a hindrance than anything else.
Right.
But as soon as it took a turn into sort of career journalism, that kind of stuff, their tune changed very rapidly. I was very lucky in that regard.
Though. Yeah, mine were very supportive too. In fact, the one thing I do remember, the one kind of video game related thing I remember my mum being involved in, other than, were you playing Miniclip just then? Have you seen that clip where a guy is doing a speed run of Tombi 2? At Games Done Quick.
No.
And there's this guy sat on the couch who doesn't know the game, but is just like talking. He's just sat down. He doesn't know the runner or anything. Right. He's just sat there and he's chatting through it.
Okay.
And the gamer eventually turns to him and just goes, "I would really prefer if you would be quiet."
Like, oh, my God.
And there's an edit of that where, as he says that, there's this like 3-second music track that loops whenever you're talking to someone in that game, where it just goes and over and over again. It's just that. And I remember me playing that game a lot and my mum just constantly telling me to turn it the f- down. Well, she didn't say the I'm also not allowed to say that word.
Yeah, you're also not allowed to
just
say
said
that
it twice. Turning it very much to turn it down,
yes,
or shut my door, because it was just this loop of this bitty music box style tune over and over every time you spoke to someone. So that was my mum's relationship with video games. It was turn it off, you should be revising, and turn it down because that's really annoying.
36 minutes and 30 seconds. Everyone remember that.
36 minutes.
30, let me just make a little note there for Peter's naughty word.
2 words.
36, 30, roughly there. There we go. We all know that. We all heard it, but we didn't hear it because it's been edited.
Okay,
that's fine.
Great.
Sorry, everyone.
I would prefer if you. What was it?
I would really prefer if you would be quiet.
Oh my God, that's so awkward.
And he doesn't say it. He just sits there silently, like oh.
Okay. That's awkward as hell.
I'll send
it
to you after the stream.
Please do.
It's very awkward.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We've got another question here. No, we haven't. I'm looking too far ahead.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah?
Have you got some weird news?
Ah!
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's weird news time, Peter.
Yes, it is.
Do you mind if I hop in with my weird news here?
No, please do bop straight in.
We've actually got a question as well that's tangentially related from Patricia Biscuits here.
Oh, fantastic.
Since you guys are pro-gamer Twitch streamers, what are your thoughts on Ninja allegedly not being able to disable his account? Is Twitch advertising other channels on his now inactive channel them being petty over him leaving, or do you think they are genuine when they say they're only making sure users can find similar content?
I think this is a bad thing.
Me too. Here's the news for you. So Ninja recently left Twitch. He has 14 million followers on Twitch.
He's a big name on Twitch, a B-not.
And he's gone to Mixer, which is something I've never heard of. It's the Microsoft equivalent, basically. I mean, I've heard of it now. I suppose that was the point of getting Ninja to make a bajillion dollars off it.
Yeah, I wonder how much they paid him.
A lot, surely. Good for him, though. So Tyler Ninja Blevins, this comes, by the way, from Kotaku. our favourite, Luke Plunkett, who recently left his 14 million follower Twitch account behind to go and stream on rival platform Mixer, has issued a statement labelled disgusted and so sorry today after that now dormant account, which he no longer operates, was promoting streams from other users, including one broadcasting pornography!
It was the number one suggestion for at least some people.
It was. So, a bit of context. If you were to go to Ninja's Twitch channel, it hadn't been closed down. It was still there. And Twitch were using it to promote other channels, which is unheard of. That this has never happened before.
They've never, ever done it.
Never done it with any other account. I know, obviously, he was by far their biggest name.
But you can't just make exceptions.
No,
like
absolutely
that.
Not. No, 100% not. I'm just saying, like, he was their biggest name. Mm. So him leaving is probably, could probably be considered a special case. But what they did is not okay. What they had at the top was a Mario joke saying your ninja is in another castle.
Right.
And then they just had a load of recommendations for other channels. And as Patricia said, what they claimed they were doing was trying to help users find similar content.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did was recommend other channels. And as you said, at the time, the number one suggested channel was a pornography channel.
I'm guessing it was an algorithm rather than
surely, right? Because a pornography channel would be shut down.
Yeah.
So it was just a clip of actual intercourse being the number one recommended thing on a channel that Ninja has no control over. Now, say what you want about Ninja, and I don't think anyone has anything negative to say about him. I don't think he's ever done anything negative.
No.
As far as I'm aware, it's just a case of, oh, Ninja, huh? Streaming, huh?
Successful guy, huh?
Rather than, you know, makes comments about Nazis or whatever it is that people like to do on YouTube, it seems.
Or on BAFTA.
Or on BAFTA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was absolutely, naturally very disgusted by this. And it seems that now it has been, it's reverted to just his normal channel look, which is just, you know, it's got his previous broadcasts. There's a chat window on the right, and all it just says, you know, it's a blank video player with nothing on it.
Right.
Because obviously he's not coming back. I think obviously what he wanted to do was shut down the channel completely. Mm-hmm. But he had no control over this. He left, and Twitch took over that page and just started advertising other content on it, which is not really okay.
What,
and
so,
especially now it's not okay.
So he didn't sort of press a button to close the channel. He just left it, but...
Yeah.
So he left it online, effectively. He didn't close his account, but he just said publicly, I won't actually be returning to this.
Well, this is what I'm not sure of.
Right.
Because it seems to... I watched his video apology, and it was very sincere. Like, he looked furious that this had happened, and it rightfully so. From what he said, it makes it sound as though he left and he closed his account, or he tried to.
Right.
And he wasn't coming back. Because if he had the login, then presumably he could just properly deactivate the account. Or maybe that is the case, but what happened was when you went to twitch.tv/ninja, it no longer displayed a channel page that he could close down.
Mm.
They had hijacked it, basically.
So it just went to a new page.
It just went to a new page that had the same URL that recommended other channels. So he had no control over what was displayed on that page. I think now if he wanted to, he could close that account.
Right.
But presumably he might want to keep it. I don't know what the contract details are with Mixer. Maybe they said, maybe one of his demands was, I would like to keep it just in case I go back at some point.
Yeah.
But I will sign a 2-year, 3-year exclusivity deal with you. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, Twitch are like, nah, mate. We're going to redirect your page to a page that just advertises other Twitch users.
Similar content.
The algorithms just brought up some pornography.
Intercourse.
To your probably predominantly young audience or just an audience that weren't expecting to see pornography on Twitch.
Young or old, I don't want to see that when I'm, you know, just looking for some ninja gaming.
Yeah, I wanted to see a guy pwn some noobs. I didn't want to see some noobing some pwns, you know.
No, that's, Jesus.
There are websites for that.
Absolutely.
So that's very weird.
Pretty weird.
I think we're agreed that that's really not okay from Twitch there. And we brought a lot of Twitch weird news recently, but it is a hotbed for controversy and what's the other word? Drama.
Drama.
There's all sorts of drama happening all the time, whether it's cats sicking in there, whether it's streaming from bathrooms, whether it's the ex gone give it to you most popular Twitch streamer now advertising pornography on his channel without his consent. Crazy.
Well, maybe, Ben. The new alternative, Mixer, will be completely free of controversy.
I would love it if that were true. Tell me about why it is God's green earth.
Well, Microsoft's game streaming service, Mixer, everything's going well.
Okay.
Is the headline. No. Oh, sorry.
Oh,
this
what?
Just in.
Yeah, sorry. Hang
from
on.
LiveMint.com.
Yeah.
Microsoft's gaming streaming service, Mixer, criticized for new clothing guidelines.
Oh, good. They're telling people how to dress.
Mixer has split its guidelines into three sections: family-friendly stream, teen stream, and 18-plus stream. Mixer's family-friendly stream requires family-friendly stream requirements state that clothing must cover entire visible body from a few inches above the bust line.
Wow. Okay.
Microsoft-owned game streaming service is being criticized for its new clothing guidelines for streamers. Many streamers have taken to social media, calling the guidelines unnecessarily strict towards female streamers. There are some limits as to what streamers can wear on camera. Our rules on clothing attempt to allow for expression while still keeping things safe for the wide variety of audience members that make use of our site.
Stop nannying people!
Mixer has split its guidelines into three sections, as I outlined earlier. Clothing must cover entire visible body from a few inches above the bust line. It cannot be strapless, apparently.
God forbid we have comfort.
And should
I know I like to wear a strapless bra.
Absolutely.
It's just more comfortable.
And should
sometimes I don't wear it. Is that okay?
No.
Microsoft, am I allowed to not wear a bra, please?
What's strapless got to do with it, though? That's just shoulders. I don't see why they've got a problem. If you're covering, the bust line...
It's disgusting.
It's crazy.
Put those shoulders away.
It cannot be strapless and should show little to no cleavage. Mm. Now, so that's the family-friendly stream. But even the teen stream... the teen stream, on the other hand, allows for more than a hint of cleavage.
Oh, my God.
Why is that being specified? Though clothing can't be strapless, again, and must cover, quote, the entire body.
This sounds exactly like Microsoft's guide to trash talking online that you brought that time.
Mm-hmm.
Your serious potato aim.
Yeah.
Etc. It is so... I'll let you continue.
No, but yeah.
It's so transparent, all of this, that it's just... They don't believe a word they're saying.
No.
It is purely for advertisers. That's the only reason anyone is doing this on YouTube, on Twitch, on Mixer, wherever. It doesn't matter. All this nonsense is for advertisers. And I don't think advertisers realize that the people they're advertising to are the people who find this stuff ridiculous.
Absolutely.
I don't get it.
People, if you mess around with your new streaming service that much where people are like, oh, maybe I don't want to go to a place that's like ruled with an iron fist. Bill Gates' iron fist.
Yeah, Bill Gates is involved at every level
as
well.
Yeah, he definitely
ran
a meeting where he said, no straps.
I don't like shoulders, guys.
No,
I find them intimidating. Yeah. I don't have shoulders. I'm just a head in a jar. I'm Bill Gates.
So maybe that will affect the size of the audience on this new streaming service, and then that's going to affect your advertising. So maybe just think about it a little more.
Yeah.
Essentially, then there's just some details that people have been tweeting about saying this is stupid. The 18 plus stream, the chest must be covered from the bust line to the end of the rib cage. No, quote, under cleavage.
Oh, God forbid.
No.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because I think there's two ways you could view this. One of them is like, well, you know, it's only weird, horny teenagers that wanna see that stuff anyway. So what's the problem?
Mm-hmm.
But then the other thing, which is the right thing, is how dare you tell someone how to dress? And secondly, you don't have to like how they dress. You just don't watch it.
Yeah.
That should be how it works. You may not agree with how someone dresses, but if it irks you in some way, just don't watch it.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it.
But it's also, it's so blanket, this, like, you can't just specify. I mean, there's a tweet here that's been embedded from Luxy at Luxy Games. I don't quite know what the context of this is, but you can kind of work it out. She's tweeted, just checking in to let everyone know that by Mixer standards, the meet and greets at Disney for Ariel, Mona, is it Moana?
Moana, yeah.
Moana and Jasmine are 18 plus.
Yeah, that's true.
Have a good day. So
mental.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I hope Jasmine's okay after the magic carpet ride that she had earlier.
I could show you the world.
Stop crying.
I will show
Stop
you the world.
Stop crying.
Let me show it to you. The world, I mean.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Good Lord, Microsoft.
In comparison, rival service Twitch's guidelines on nudity and attire only mention... We recommend...
They advertise pornography.
Yeah, they do.
They have no standards.
They say, we recommend attire appropriate for public settings, such as what you would wear on a public street or to a mall or restaurant. I mean, if you want to have sex in the mall, go for it, is what Twitch is saying, basically.
Again, a completely subjective interpretation available there.
For example, for a fitness stream or an IRL, in brackets, in real life stream, from a location such as a public beach. It says a public breach.
What's this website again?
Livemint.com. But I'm Good. Presuming they've copy and pasted this from Twitch.
Surely,
A
right?
public breach. Attire appropriate to those public contexts is recommended, such as workout clothes or a swimsuit, respectively. So you're allowed to wear a swimsuit on Twitch if it's relevant to the context, but not on Mixer.
How
don't care where you are or what you're doing.
You?
If you haven't got straps on your shoulders,
You get the F out.
In a recent case, Twitch had first removed and then allowed a video where a female streamer was shown breastfeeding. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I did actually, yeah.
It was just in the middle of a stream, she decided to breastfeed a child and that caused all kinds of controversy.
Of course it did.
The video was originally taken down, but allowed later after a review. Actually says, but allow later after review. I'm going to stop reading this LiveMint article.
Okay.
Thank you, LiveMint, for your poor write-up there.
Great.
Of an even poorer story.
Fantastic. Streaming is what a world, huh?
Yeah.
We can't make anything without being told what we can and can't do.
Dreadful.
That's a real shame. Mm. Well, it's time to move on to another question real quick. This is from Liam Hammond, who asks, what are your favourite traditional arcade games? My personal favourite was House of the Dead and other such shooter clones. Mm. What games do you look back on fondly from the arcade room? Peter,
yeah.
Did you have a local arcade slash, in my case, bowling alley?
Not a local one, really, no. Mm. It wasn't easy to get to. I lived in a village.
Me too.
Needless to say, there wasn't a bowling alley.
Weird, right?
Yeah, what?
There should be more of those. Get rid of churches, bowling alleys, go on.
But like even in the nearest... A few of the nearest towns, really, none of them had a bowling alley. You had to go to like a sort of a retail estate. For
yes,
that.
No, absolutely. I should say same here, but right. it was my local, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we didn't go often enough. Like we went bowling maybe once a year or something.
I just used to go to the bowling alley to play the arcade games.
Yeah, well, I would have liked to, but it would have meant like saying to my parents, "Hi, can you take me to the bowling alley?" And then they would have to just hang around while I played games.
I used to have to catch the worst and most unreliable bus known to man. That would just wind like a minibus that would sometimes show up and then it would wind through every village on the way into Banbury.
Was it one of those that sort of rattled as it went round corners?
Yeah, the windows go. It's like, this can't be right, can it? No seatbelts? Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Sure.
That's fine.
But, you know, I have been to arcades and have played arcade games.
Have you?
So I do still have some favourites, yeah.
No way. Go
Absolutely.
On. What you got?
Well, going like. In terms of classic arcade games, like the real old stuff, I'd say out of all those, my favourites are probably Frogger.
Okay.
I think that plays pretty well.
I don't think I've ever been to an arcade with Frogger in it.
Oh, haven't you? No. I've played Frogger a couple of times in an arcade, and I also had it on Xbox Live Arcade as well, which obviously is not the same experience.
XBLA.
What?
XBLA.
XBLA. XBLA. And also Galaga. Galaga, okay.
Yeah,
Gallagher.
Yeah. He was in Oasis.
He was, yeah. Noel. I never actually played that in an arcade, admittedly, but it was on the front end for some reason of Tekken 1 on PS1.
Oh.
You could play it.
Interesting.
Because it's made by Namco.
It's also in Avengers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. There's a guy playing Gallagher on a screen.
Okay.
In one of the scenes, and Tony Stark gives a big speech and goes, That guy's playing Gallagher, by the way.
Right.
And it goes over to him and going... Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And then just the screen just changes quickly.
Right.
Because he's been caught.
Oh, I see.
Like he's meant to be doing exams like we were.
Yeah. Well, there were 10 stages of it on the front of Tekken 1.
Really?
And it was just essentially an emulated version of the arcade game. So I did play that actually a fair bit. I would put my Tekken disc in and play Gallagher.
Play Gallagher.
But in terms of actual games that I used to play on the regular whenever I went to an arcade... Effing Crazy Taxi, man.
Oh, nice.
Loved that game
yeah.
so much. The chaotic speed and handling. It's sort of one of those cars that turns on a dime in ways that it probably shouldn't, but yeah, you know, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's in San Francisco and like the steep hills and stuff. Yeah, just a lot of fun. Pretty wild. I like my rail shooters as well, but yeah, like not any specific one. So
that was the good Kush.
Yeah,
that's what you liked.
Mm-hmm.
I also loved House of the Dead. House of the Dead 4 was the one that we had in the arcade that I played a lot.
Right.
That was the one with the Uzi. And when you got caught, you had to rattle it. You had to shake it from side to side to shake stuff off. And it used to rub against the top of your sort of thumb, because that's where it sat. And it used to always really hurt after you played some House of the Dead 4. That was good. Time Crisis 2. Mm-hmm. Is the boy.
Yeah.
Always played time. There's always Time Crisis.
There is.
Various numbers. Time Crisis 2, though, is the best one. I remember I went on holiday to Gran Canaria with some friends a long time ago, and there was an arcade there. And every day I would play this superbike game.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but I ended up in my crowning achievement in an arcade was getting a record on it.
Oh, nice.
Getting a speed record on one of the maps. I would do it every day. And then, like, on the third day, I managed to... God created the animals, obviously.
Yeah, he did.
But also, Ben created a high school.
Okay.
I don't know what God created.
It wasn't the animals. I think it was, like, trees or something.
Okay.
Maybe fungus.
Something God created small. Fungus. Yeah, some kind of disease, perhaps, that kills children. I set a high score. That was my achievement. Never set a high score since, just because when I go to an arcade, I will spend £2 and that is it.
Did you put BEN or B something P?
I probably put BEN. I don't think I went S. I don't think I did that.
At what?
S.
S. Oh, you mean, yeah, some people would put like poo or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I didn't do that. I think I put my name. I wanted that glory. Yeah. Also, can't resist a claw machine.
Oh, yeah, I know, can't. Yeah.
That one time I did it, and on my third, for about £5, I managed to win two high-quality Marvel character toys.
Big head, sort of plushy.
A Spider-Man and a Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never repeated that success since, despite my attempts.
We went to the arcade at the bowling alley the day... I think it was the day after our last exam at uni,
mm-hmm.
And played the claw machine and played. We sank like £20 each into just, you know, made an afternoon of it. It was really fun.
That's the thing though, right? If you look at the time expended versus the money spent,
yeah,
it's actually pretty good value for money. If you think about it in that I need to eat dinner tonight,
yeah,
I've just spent £15 on a claw machine, then that's not so good.
Yeah, I don't mean we spent £20 each on a claw machine. I mean, we played a bit of claw machine, a bit of air hockey, some actual cabinet games as well. Mm-hmm. In fact, going back to question two about parents.
Okay.
I remember going to a bowling alley once, or it might have even been an airport. My dad, I think we needed to kill some time, and he said to me and my two siblings, right, you can all have a go on one game.
Mm.
And me and my sister both played this game where you're in like a Jeep in a safari.
Yeah.
And you're driving along and you have to catch an animal and you have to like swing a lasso. And I think there was some sort of peripheral up here.
Oh, yeah, there's loads of crazy peripheral games, aren't there?
So you had like a steering wheel that you had to drive. And then I'm sure there was something where you did actually have to swing the lasso and like catch a gazelle or whatever. That was really fun.
Do you remember the occasional ones that had like cards? They would give you a card and it was like an AR card game. It was like some sort of dinosaur game, and it printed out, it spat out an actual playing card that you could then battle with in the game.
Oh no, I've never
really
played that.
Really weird, yeah.
Well, and then you can just keep the card?
I assume so. I can't remember, it was a long time ago.
Weird.
Yeah, very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Oh, also, there was a pod racing game as well.
Was there?
Which had like two controllers up here.
Nice.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it was anything to do with the N64 version of
just
Star Wars
some weird
Racer.
Sega unit.
But it was really good, though. Like, it played really well. So, that was super fun. That was quite, you know, one of those I'm living the, I'm in the film
I'm
kind
doing
of moments.
It. Yeah, like a big wraparound screen.
Yeah, yeah. Thing. So, that was a lot of fun. I played that once or twice.
Arcades are amazing.
Yeah.
They're so good. I don't know if there is one locally, actually, here. We should probably find out, shouldn't we?
Probably have to go to the seaside for one.
But if we went to the seaside, it would be a large journey. It would be a big journey.
Metro.
It would be a big disc. We're all living on a big disc, flat earth.
We are.
Hashtag flat earthers. It's a big discussion is what I'm trying to say.
Disgusting.
It's never been disgusting. Which one of you doesn't know how to flush the toilet when you've had a timestamp. Big discussion time.
Mm-hmm.
It's the big discussion. What do big discussion today, peeps?
This is from Jack Bradshaw, who is actually the mod on our Discord.
Discord. Yes.
Details of which you'll find out at the end of the podcast when we do all of our socials.
Yeah, be patient.
Jack Bradshaw asks, with Gamescom just around the river bend, it says, is there anything you're hoping to see from the big three or from third-party companies?
Oh, hello. Our entire studio just sort of
room
shook.
Just shook.
That was weird.
That was how big the discussion
it's
was.
It's huge. It's
monstrous. Arrived.
Here it comes. Let it in. Don't make eye contact, though, but let it in.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
So Gamescom is next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, usually, there aren't any conferences. We haven't had a Gamescom conference for a long, long time.
No.
Not usually a lot of announcements. Sometimes they'll release some, like, PR statement or something during the week, but it'll never be a big, you know, maybe a trailer will drop, but it'll never be a big thing.
Yeah, I think last year they in 2018 they did a Gamescom preview, but I don't think they had really announced anything. I think it was just sort of a teaser of like, oh, if you're at Gamescom, here's what you can expect to play.
But that looks to be changing this year.
Yeah.
We seem to be moving slightly back in that direction, sort of perhaps stealing the thunder a little bit of E3, maybe a kind of tiny bit. If you're interested about how E3 is getting on, maybe watch our video that we put a lot of work into.
Yeah.
Is E3 dead? You can find it. So we know for a fact that there is going to be a Gamescom opening night live stream hosted by Jeff Keighley. We are going to be streaming along with it, our reactions, just like we did at E3. I can't remember what time it is, but please pay attention to our social media and we'll tell you all about it. Is it 7?
I think it's 7.
7 PM. 7 PM. We'll talk about it again at the end of the show, but it's shaping up to be quite exciting, Peter, because the tweet that he's put out has said world premiere content announcements from... Content and announcements from, and then we've got all the names here. Are you ready? Should we list them off alternatingly?
Sure.
2K.
Activision.
Bandai Namco.
Bungie.
Capcom.
EA.
Epic.
Google Stadia.
Koch Media / Deep Silver.
Private Division.
They publish the Outer Worlds.
They do the Outer Worlds,
in case you didn't know. Sega.
Squeenix.
Sony Interactive Entertainment.
THQ Nordic.
Ubisoft.
Xbox.
And more.
Mm.
That's a lot. I don't know how long this stream's going to be, but if it's just going to be a quick fire, here's a trailer, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
We'll see all sorts of stuff.
I'm hoping that, I mean, because it says world premiere content announcements, you know, it's probably not going to be announcements from everybody. It'll just be like, you know, maybe here's a new bit of gameplay for a game that we've
the
already
Outer
seen.
Worlds.
Or, yeah, you know. So there's still, you know, it might not be quite as exciting and fun-filled with announcements as we hope it will be, but...
Yeah.
We won't know until the night, so...
We won't, and we will be streaming along. I've gone through, Peter, I know you've got a couple there yourself as well. I've gone through and I've tried to note down a couple of games or whatever games that these companies might bring.
Okay.
And these are existing games that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
That apparently some of them are going to be bringing new games that we haven't seen before, which is exciting. But if we go again...
I've got one thing here that I think is confirmed.
Okay.
There's a bit of a question mark. I can't remember the source, but I have read online that Kojima will be there showing Death Stranding.
He's Jeff Keighley's best friend.
Well, there you go. So that's something that sort of we know will be happening, but the rest is all kind of very much
could
up in
be,
the air.
Might not be sort of thing.
Yeah.
If we go from brand to brand again, I will. Shall I read you what I've got written down?
Yeah. Why
as,
not?
As these things, do you want to list them off again and
the
I
brands.
Will go?
Yeah. Yeah. 2K.
WWE 2K20 and Borderlands.
Oh yeah, of
course. Are two 2K games that might be there.
Yeah. Activision.
Tales of... No, that's not right. I'm looking at Bandai Namco. I didn't even do Activision. Call of Duty.
Crash Bandicoot.
Modern Warfare. Spyro.
More microtransactions.
Crash Team Racing.
Bandai Namco.
Tales of Arise and The Elden Ring.
Oh, yeah, The Elden Ring, of course.
Our two potential
ones.
Oh,
I hope we see some of that. Yeah. Bungie.
Destiny.
Okay.
They've now got it. It's theirs. It's
right.
Not Activision's anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're making some changes. I think they said they're moving away from cosmetic microtransactions and how important those are in the game.
Right.
So maybe they'll have a big expansion announcement that's all of their very own, which could be exciting for Destiny
Capcom.
Players.
Capcom.
Monster Hunter World and Resi.
Resi, of course. Is it too soon for more Resi? Who's to say?
No, Resi 2 seemed to come out real quick, didn't
it?
But maybe they have had another studio working on Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or possibly a remake of 3.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
I think it could be those, either of those two. EA.
Star Wars.
Mm.
And Apex.
Yeah.
Probably.
Epic.
Fortnite.
Yeah.
And they also recently bought Psyonix, the developers of Rocket League.
Oh, yeah.
So there might be something there.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Google Stadia.
Google Stadia Games is their first party studio they announced they were setting up. Sorry, Google Stadia Games and Entertainment, which is not a particularly catchy name. And that's headed up by Jade Redmond, who was the publisher of Assassin's Creed.
Okay.
Sort of one of the creative forces behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll see one of their maybe their first exclusive game that's being developed for Google Stadia.
Also, they've got ties with some of these other studios, haven't they? I know they're very much in bed with Ubisoft at the moment.
Yeah.
So, Koch Media / Deep Silver.
Potentially some more Saints Row. Dead Island 2 has now jumped to another developer, but it's still under the same publisher.
Yeah.
And Shenmue 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could see some of that.
Private Division.
The Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds. Sega.
Sega apparently are bringing a brand new AAA game to the show. It's not been seen by the public before. That's what they've said they're doing.
Oh.
So could be another Alien game. Could be a whole variety of
Sega
things.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Maybe it could be the Sonic the Hedgehog movie video game tie-in.
Oh, yes, please.
Can't wait. Squeenix.
Avengers and Final Fantasy VII remake, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sony.
Well, we've got The Last of Us 2, Ghosts of Tsushima, and Death Stranding are all sort of future big first-party games that we know about. And as you say, Death Stranding is almost a cert.
Seems to be, yeah.
So we could see more of the other two as well.
THQ Nordic.
Probably too soon for Time Splitters, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see some SpongeBob and Destroy All Humans, I reckon.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And as you say, Dead Island 2 as well.
Yes.
Ubisoft.
Watch Dogs Legion. Mm-hmm. And I've put here Tom Clancy's Shoot Boys, because I can't remember how many Tom Clancy games there are in
They're
development
all just
at the
same,
moment.
Aren't they
are the same.
Yeah. Now I'm looking forward to seeing some, hopefully, some more Watch Dogs. Xbox.
Halo and Gears of War, and maybe if CD Projekt Red love them enough, some more Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, actually, we know we're seeing the Cyberpunk gameplay demo from E3 at Gamescom.
Oh, right.
So it might not be at the show, but the gameplay footage from the E3 demo for Cyberpunk will be released, so we'll be able to watch it.
Okay, that's
so
good.
That's very exciting
that
next week.
That could be at the show. Maybe that's, although maybe they're kind of recycling it, because people, the journalists who maybe already saw it at E3 might not want to cover
could
it
be.
Again.
Could be. Depends how long it goes, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. So that's that. Yeah, I think out of all of that, I'd like to see some more Watch Dogs.
Yep.
I'd like them to show the bits of Star Wars that they didn't show last time that actually make it sound a lot more exciting.
Yeah.
There's like a sort of an actual, I don't know if it's an entire galaxy or a solar system or what, but there's several planets to explore. I think there's possibly crew building mechanics. Maybe I'm making that up, but certainly it's a wider game with more scope than it seemed to be.
Right.
And also, I'd like to know when we can expect the Halo PC games. I think they're bringing that out staggered.
Yeah.
Are
there any other ones that sort of jump off the page, if you can read my handwriting?
I mean, no, not other than the ones I sort of... I mean, you know, I'm always up for more Resi.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a question of whether... Yeah, maybe they were working on the next one in the series alongside 2, or maybe they... there have been rumors already about there being a remake of 3 now, so yeah.
Well, fingers crossed. I'd like to see some more Resi.
And Elden Ring.
Yes, Elden Ring. I'm excited to see something from Sony as well, because we haven't heard from them for a while now. I don't know when the next state of play is, but that's probably a way off. Final Fantasy VII Remake, obviously. Maybe Avengers can do something to get people excited about that again.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got there? The Borderlands, obviously. Oh, actually, I think Borderlands, Gearbox have said that there's going to be a big announcement at this show for Borderlands. I don't know what that could possibly be. They've already said it's going to have cross-platform play at some point after launch. I don't know what else they could really announce.
A card trick?
Maybe it's a three-hour card trick.
Maybe they could send two hired thugs around to someone. That's now been covered, by the way. My story about the two goons has been covered by Kotaku.
Yes, I did see that, actually. It's been picked up, hasn't it? Syndicated.
So maybe it's slightly more believable.
Could,
now
have, some,
respectable.
Could have some weight to it, the weird news from last week.
Mm.
But actually, looking at all those games written down now, because I saw all those those companies, and I was like, huh, okay, this might be worth watching. Mm-hmm. But breaking that down into all the games that could be there, that's actually quite exciting.
Yeah.
The fact that it's one stream and we don't have to stay up until 2 a.m. every day to watch it.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Is really
it's
great.
It's hosted in Germany, so.
However, as we move now on to the end of the show, I would like to plug that, because Monday, the Monday coming up, is going to be a very, very busy evening for us.
Mm-hmm.
At 6 p.m., you're probably not going to stream that day because of this, I would imagine.
No, I think I'm going to swap with Thursday.
So 6 p.m., we will be doing a Patreon call for all of our wonderful patrons. We'll be doing that for strictly 1 hour, though, so we will absolutely be on time, but we won't be able to stay longer than an hour. We'll probably do sort of 50 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Then we need to get ready, because at 7 p.m., it's the Gamescom opening night live stream. We will be reacting to it, just as we did with E3. We'll have a small picture-in-picture at the corner, so you can sort of sync it up yourself at home if you want to watch along with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's done, we don't know when it's finished, but once that's done, we will be doing I suppose it's our third now, after E3, our third sleepover stream. We've been told we can swear.
Yes.
We've been told that nothing really is off limits. We'll be streaming on YouTube. All of this will be on YouTube, youtube.com/TeamTripleJump/live. Again, we'll be posting it all on social media. But if you want to come along and mess around with us in the evening, we'll be streaming for a good few hours across Gamescom and the sleepover stream. So please come along.
A nice late night stream for those who can't catch the stuff during the day. It'll be great.
Absolutely, unless you're in Australia, perhaps.
Well, work out the time difference. It might actually be more convenient for maybe not people further east than us, but further west.
Yeah.
It might sync up a bit better with your day. So
could help
if you're
you
an American viewer or Canadian or whatever.
No excuse.
No.
We expect to see you all there.
Be there.
And where are they going to be, Peter?
Where are they going to be? Well, I mean, you know, the live URL that you just read is where they're going to be.
Yeah.
But if they also want to see our other content day to day, you can see us on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/TeamTripleJump. Social media wise, to keep up with all of this information, Twitter and facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. If you want to get in on the patron chat, our Patreon is patreon.com/TeamTripleJump. There you go.
Yeah.
If you're watching the video version of this podcast right now, you can get an audio version for your ear holes at play.acast.com/s/TripleJump.
Not just Triple team. Jump.
Yeah, just Triple Jump. The website is triplej.merp. If you put a little /shop on the end of that, we've got some merch to buy. We might have some new merch coming pretty soon.
Oh, very
might
soon.
Be a new T-shirt on the way.
Oh, that's exciting. Maybe you should keep an eye out for that, maybe.
And the Discord, if you want to get in on that voice chat, if you're a patron, is bit.ly/TeamTripleJump.
Team Triple Jump. We should also say that patrons of any tier can ask questions on the podcast.
Absolutely.
So if you just want to chip in a buck a month, you are fully welcome to ask questions. We post something in there for all tiers that you can just comment underneath, and we take the questions from there. Now, if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, you can do at @ThatPeterAustin and @Confused_Dude. Instagram is @ThatPeterAustin and @BenPotter20. We do lists every Tuesday and Thursday. We've just released a massive list, haven't we? The Batman list.
Oh.
It's huge. It's like an hour and 10 minutes long. So if you want to see every Batman game ranked from worst to best, you can do that. Peter worked very hard on it. So did our wonderful writer, Philip, and our fantastic freelance editor, also called Peter.
Yeah.
But not you.
I didn't work nearly as hard as Philip and Peter. So shout outs to Peter Griffiths and Philip. What's Philip's surname again?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Philip. I can't remember. Because I always refer, because when I'm emailing him, it's just
Dear Philip.
Dear Philip. Yeah. I can't remember Philip's
last name. The
only
reason I know
name.
Peter Griffiths' surname is because I'm Peter and he's Peter.
You need to,
so I kind of need to remember which one I am. Otherwise, I would get confused.
Philip, the wonderful man. That's what his last name is.
I did know it, but it's just gone.
Mr. Thwonderful Man.
Yeah.
Mr. Thwonderfulman.
Yeah.
Streams. Every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We do streams Monday and Tuesday being on Twitch, Thursday being on YouTube.
Philip Reed.
That's the one.
I knew I'd get it.
Should have been Philip Wright, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
To be honest. Worst Games is fortnightly. Worst Games ever. It's Friday for patrons and Sunday for everybody else. Now, we've just done a Worst Games last week, so the next Worst Games will be next week.
We've just done a... Yeah, this comes out on a Saturday, right?
This comes out on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, because you always talk about the Sunday. I always think of the Friday, so I think like, oh, we haven't just done one because there wasn't one on Friday.
No.
Because I have to upload it for Friday because of seeing it early on Patreon.
Yeah.
But you're right. Yeah, last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
Not this week.
No.
At the time of release.
Yeah.
Are you okay? Kicking
paper or something.
Oh, dear. We're just, everything's kicking
best
off.
Best outro ever.
Podcast is every Saturday. Please leave us an iTunes review or a review for rating on your platform of choice. Something to do with algorithms. It really helps us out. Also, we've just started Prove It.
We have.
We've just started up Prove It again. It's a series we did last year that I think was some of our best work. Mm-hmm. It's where we take lessons learned from video games and we prove it in real life. This time in the Prove It chair is Crash Team Racing. Mm-hmm. And we did our Let's Play where we were studying various elements of it earlier in the week. And tomorrow, on Sunday, will be our live action finale where we prove in the real world what we've learned from Crash Team Racing. So please go and watch that. And with that, that is all of our new shows out in the wild now. You know about all of them. We've been working really hard. Those of you who've been listening to the podcast know that we've been promising them for a long time. And we've explained that, you know, sometimes things get in the way. We're a small team, mm-hmm. and the lists take a lot of man hours,
all woman hours,
put together. And initially it was just us doing all of it, so we didn't have time. And now finally we're in a position where everything is out there. Not everything will be monthly, as we initially promised, just because we've realized it's perhaps a bit more. We've bitten off a bit more than we can chew.
Like you
say,
we're a small team. So.
We're a small team. It takes a lot of work, but you will get a lot of those shows now in rotation as and when we make them.
There will certainly be stuff every month, I think. It's just not necessarily one of everything each month. So yeah.
I imagine you'd probably get one of two, perhaps two shows a month or thereabouts. But we'll do our best to increase the regularity as we get more efficient.
Yeah,
as the
definitely.
Team grows.
Yeah.
That's all we got for you this week. It was a big one this week. We hope you're looking forward to Gamescom. We hope to see a lot of you on Monday. If you can join us in the evening, mm-hmm. we'll post about it on Twitter. And hopefully we'll see you all there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, should we go?
Leaves just enough time to thank today's sponsor.
Of course.
Dr. Ace Ventura's feet filters, shoe filters. Do you want peppermint, Earl Grey, chamomile, lemon and ginger, breakfast, builders, iced tea, Long Island, Rhode Island, New York, Manhattan, Statue of Liberty, .com/... the end.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sponsoring us this week. We'll see you next week. Have a lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.